Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. So glad that you've chosen to tune in this morning. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are always glad for the privilege of being able to share the Word of God with you on Sunday mornings at this time. Hey, we had a great weekend last weekend. My oldest son was married over the weekend up in Gardnerville, Nevada, just south of Carson City. And so what a wonderful, blessed event that was. And it was so good to be with the church and with family and friends and everything else. What a great, amazing time when you see two young people who have grown up in the church, in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, honoring Him and following Him, choosing to be His disciples, choosing to join their lives together before God to carry on the traditions of being a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so we're so thankful for that. One of the other high points of the weekend was on Sunday morning at the church at North Carson. Derek, I can't remember his last name. Oh, DeVries, excuse me. Derek DeVries was with the church there all the way from Taiwan. And Derek shared with us about the work that goes on over there and kind of the climate and everything else. And boy, I'll tell you what, he was so encouraging, so challenging, so really gets you to think about your priorities in life. And one of the things that really tugged at my heart was that he says that over in Taiwan, people just have no hope. And they have no understanding of the God of creation. He said, I think if I remember right, they have like thousands, I mean like thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of different gods for everything. And yet they don't know the God of creation. And so there's not a lot of joy. There's not a lot of peace. There's not a lot of just feeling and knowing that God cares about us. And I think that was the message that just hit me so deeply. And I was thinking to myself, well, Taiwan certainly doesn't have the market on things, do they? And yet we are still a part of a culture that has been saturated with Christ for so long. And the foundations even of this country were to honor God and to give glory to God. And so I'm just so thankful that we live here. But boy, my heart went out to those people over there, and we certainly are going to continue to pray for Derek and his wife and children and the work that they do over there in Taiwan for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In light of that, then, I wanted to share some of the accounts in the Gospel of Luke about Jesus. You know, one of the things that we do sometimes is we get kind of calloused toward the accounts or stories, if you would, of what Jesus did. These aren't fairy tales. They actually happened. That's why I like to use the word account. And yet at the same time, a story is really just short for his story. And so it's so good to go back through. And I've been reading through the Gospels this week in my Bible plan for the year. And it just struck me all over again how good God is. And that when Jesus came, that he was so good to the people of Israel. He was so good in sharing his life and sharing the power of God and doing such amazing miracles in their midst. And yet it was done to show that he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that through him that we could all have life and life abundantly. And I just wanted to share some of these accounts with you, and I hope that you'll listen to them this morning in a new light as I try to make them come alive off the page of Scripture for you. So the first one is from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 31, we're going to start. Luke chapter 4 and verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. Jesus was very much a teacher. He taught everywhere he went. He proclaimed the truth that the kingdom of God was near. And even on the Sabbath, even on a day of rest, he taught and was interested in proclaiming the truths of Scripture to these people. In verse 32, it says, they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Now, you and I both know that when someone is confident and they understand their subject, when they don't have to rely on, well, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said this, and, well, I think this, and, well, this may be the case. When someone teaches with authority, you just know it. You can just feel it. That it's like, wow, it's refreshing. And they're not quoting maxims or this or that or the other. Jesus taught with authority because he had all authority. All authority had been given to him in heaven and on earth. And so they were amazed at his teaching. And yet the things that had come from Scripture themselves should have been just as much weighted with authority as his words. And yet, unfortunately, at this time, they weren't. And this is what Jesus, and frankly, John, even before him, who prepared the way for him, this is what they were preaching. This is what they were proclaiming. Guys, you need to repent. You need to turn away from this religious way of life, and you need to follow God. You need to fall in love with the Creator. You need to recognize and acknowledge him in everything you do, because he is the God of creation. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that gave man life and breath and everything else after he had formed the earth and filled the earth with every good thing, so that man would be able to be a good steward over all those things. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Now, in verse 33, it goes on to say, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. Now, two things. First of all, in the time of Jesus, there was, it seemed like, much demon possession. You hear about demon possession all through the Gospels. Now, doesn't mean that it hadn't happened previous. Doesn't mean that it still can't. It just means that at that particular time, that demon possession seemed to be rampant. That boy, Satan was doing everything he could all over again to keep the Messiah from coming. And frankly, at this point, when he couldn't, you know, anything that he could do to keep people from turning to Jesus, from listening to Jesus, to try to discredit him in his ministry. And it's interesting that it says in verse 33, in the synagogue there was a man. A synagogue was a group of about 10 different families. You had to have at least 10 families to form a synagogue, or what we would call a church meeting. And these families would come together in a place and different things to hear the word of God, to pray, to proclaim the truth of God's first covenant, the covenant of Moses. But Jesus was here to proclaim something even more. And so he'd gone to the synagogue to teach, and here was this man possessed by a demon. Okay, now a lot of times we think of, well, the only place people can be demon possessed is outside of the realm of God. Well, here was someone that was in the synagogue and yet had a demon, an impure spirit. And the demon cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And here's what always amazes me about the demons, is that the leaders of the Jews, the religious leaders, they wouldn't commit to it. Many of the people didn't know whether to commit to him or not. But here's the demons. Boy, oh boy, they knew who he was. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. How I wish so many times, and how I pray that people would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ like the demons do. It's sad that people don't. And it's sad that the demons have that kind of accurate knowledge of him, and yet people will reject him and not be there. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Verse 25, "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." You know why Jesus could do that? Because Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he'd come from. He knew who he belonged to. He knew that he had the power of God in his life, the measureless power of the Spirit of God in him. And so he was able to tell that demon, "Be quiet," and "Come out of him." And the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. You know, he was still trying to exert his, "Well, I'm going to throw him down one last time just to show you." And yet that demon could do nothing more than to do what Jesus told him. "Be quiet, come out of him." And he did. He had no choice. You see, this is what's so awesome about the power of God in our lives, is that we have the power of God, the power of the universe in our life. That God's not the universe, of course. God made the universe. But the power of Almighty God in our life. There's nothing more powerful in the universe. And that's why Jesus was able to say, "Be quiet," and "Come out of him." And the demon had to. And verse 36 says, "All the people were amazed. And they said to each other, 'What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out.'" They were amazed by that. They were blown away, and rightly so, right? Rightly so. They should have been blown away. And how much more, even in the 21st century, should we be blown away by the power of God? Just because we may not see these things happening all the time now, Jesus demonstrated that they could and did and will continue to. In fact, even greater things than driving out demons. Friends, people's lives can be changed. People can quit their addictions. People can leave their loneliness. People can come out of guilt and shame and be forgiven. They can come out of a life where they think nobody cares, that nobody loves them, and find out that God cares. This is why Jesus came. He came to demonstrate that God cares about us, that he wants us to be saved, that he demonstrated that even the devil and his own dominions, even they have no power when it comes to the Word of God. And so, man, I want you to know that this is just one account where Jesus drove out impure spirits, but he can, and we can continue to live a holy, godly life. Not the way of the world, not conforming to the pattern of this world, which is all about selfishness and envy and jealousy and physical possessions and greed and all the things that wisdom that comes from below, from the devil. It's demonic. It stinks. It ruins people's lives. Friends, you can come out of that with the power of God. You can let the sun set you free. And when the sun sets you free, Jesus said, you're free indeed. And so if you've been walking around captive to your sin, captive to the devil, to do what he wants you to do, it's time to come out of the darkness and come into the light. And the only way that you can do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he cares for you, because he wants you to come out of that. He wants you to have an abundant life, a life in the light and not stumbling around in the darkness. Hey, let's listen to the first song that we have this morning. This is a song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. It's called Amazed. And friend, I hope that you are still amazed by the power and the majesty and the glory and the goodness of our God. Let's listen to this.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You paint the sky with a miracle in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed.
What a great song that is. Boy, amazed, amazed, amazed. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, this is one of my favorite healings of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Now, this is an account of Jesus healing a man with leprosy. Now, we don't understand leprosy very much because it's pretty much not something we have in our society. And yet, it's still there, but especially in third world countries where medical things are not as good, where people don't take care of themselves like they should or are not able to, that leprosy still is a thing even now into the 21st century. But back then, leprosy was one of the most terrible diseases, skin conditions that you could have. It basically, your extremities lose their feeling, and so you cut yourself, bruise yourself, and it doesn't have a chance to heal. It gets infected, and so very many times people's extremities, you know, get gangrene, and they putrefy, and they fall. I mean, it's terrible. And because people thought it was, you know, so contagious, and they were not willing to be around it, lepers were outcast. They were required to, you know, say leper, unclean, and not be around people. And many times they lived outside of cities in their own little camps. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And so here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy." You know, not a little bit, a lot. It sounds like maybe he was in final stages or advanced stages. I mean, not a pretty sight. And it says, "When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Now, we don't know how this man came to find out about Jesus. I'm sure, you know, the word got out, didn't it? All the different things that he had done. And so here was a leper who had enough faith that when he came to Jesus, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." He believed that Jesus could, but he wanted to make sure it was all right with him. "Lord, if you're willing." Oof, man. Verse 13, "Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man." Do you get that? I mean, so many times we read over those words and we don't even think about it. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. You can't do that. Nobody did that. I mean, that was just tantamount to asking for it yourself. But Jesus, in his care, in his compassion, in his desire to know, let that man know that he was willing, he reached out and he touched him. Can you imagine what that must have felt like to the man? He's touching me. He's reaching out and touching me. And then Jesus said, "I am willing. I am willing. Be clean." And the leprosy immediately left him. This was no go home and take two aspirin and call me in the morning. His leprosy was gone. He was clean. He was like a newborn all over. I mean, we can't even start to begin to understand the ramifications of that. But Jesus was willing. And he said, "Be clean." And the man was. Friends, that's the power of God. That's what God can do. You might not have leprosy, but very many times leprosy was used as a type or an illustration of sin. Because it was so gross, it was so disgusting, it was so detestable, it brought so much grief and problems and pain and sorrow and loneliness that leprosy was an illustration of what sin is. Friends, if Jesus can cure leprosy, he has the power to forgive your sins. He has the power to bring you into a family who loves and cares about you. Jesus has the power to make it right. He is willing. He knows what you've done. He understands where you've been. Sometimes people say to me, "Well, there's no way that God would ever save me if he knew the things I'd done." He does know the things you've done. He knows the things I've done. He knows every hair on our head, friends. And yet he's still willing to save us. He's still willing for us to be clean, not physically, spiritually. He wants us to have a new life. He wants us to know he cares. You know, so many people curse God. They shake their fist at God. They blame God. They say, "Well, if God's so powerful, why doesn't he do this? Or why didn't he stop that?" Friends, I want you to know he has the power to change your life. And that's amazing. But you know what? The man said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But friends, here's what I want you to understand this morning. Okay? You have to be willing for Jesus to make you clean. Okay? Jesus is willing. He's proved it. God has demonstrated his love, his care, his compassion for us by allowing his son to be crucified upon a cross to pay the penalty of our sin so that we could be set free of it. There isn't anything more that he can do for us. There isn't anything more than he can do for us. Jesus lay his life down for us. He is willing. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to bend your knee and bow yourself? Are you willing to fall on your face before the Lord Jesus and say, I'm a sinner and I need to be cleaned? Are you willing to do that? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered it? Do you even know that Jesus can do that? Friends, this is what the church is here for, is to tell the good news of the gospel to a world that's dying in their sin, that's living in the dark, that's groping around in grief and living in loneliness and shame, and they're seeking after contentment and satisfaction in all the wrong things, and they'll never find it. You will never find total joy, peace, happiness, contentment in this life outside of Christ. I guarantee it. You never will. You may win that big megabucks jackpot. What's it up to? 1.6 billion? Big deal. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? I'm telling you this morning, God is willing. He's already demonstrated. You just have to start drawing near. You just have to start seeking him. If you don't know anything about the Lord Jesus, come and hear about him. If you don't understand how to get a new life in Christ, come and we'll tell you and show you how from the Word of God. It's there, friend. Will you be willing to reach out and let Jesus clean your life up? All right, as we wrap things up this morning, and I want you to know, friends, that that's what we feel like here at the Church of Las Vegas. We'd love to have you come and learn more about Jesus. We'd love to point you to him. We'd love to tell you all about him. And so come on down. Guess Bob Barker's not the only one that can say that, right? Wow, I guess I'm dating myself, right? Anyway, come on down to the Church of Las Vegas. We're at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we meet together Sunday morning at 10:30. We meet together Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Come on out at 6 o'clock. Not many people do, but you'll be blessed if you do. Also, Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have a Bible study and time of prayer because we believe in the fervent prayer of a righteous man, that it's powerful and effective. Not because we prayed it, but because God's listening. And God moves and works behind people's prayers. And so come on down. You can find us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com. Thechurchatlasvegas.com. Love to hear from you. See you in person. Until next week then, keep standing on the solid rock. The rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he cares for you.